Chapter 5. Chocolate Cake and Interest Rates. "This watch is a time harvester," said the doctor. "If you use it, it will take time from you, and you really don't want that to happen." He was walking up and down, shaking his head.
"But, Doctor, it doesn't work like that," Amy said. "It lets me borrow time. I've only borrowed about 4 days. The interest is only about 8 hours. It's nothing."
"Oh, Amy," the doctor said very quietly. He pulled at her wrist again and pressed a button on the watch. A message came up that said, "Borrowed time total, 4 days, 3 hours.
"That's what I said," said Amy. "4 days. I pay 5 minutes of interest for each hour. So I only need to pay back 8 hours of interest. It's fine. I'll pay it back now if you just let me press the button."
Then she reached for the button that Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop had shown her.
"No, don't!" shouted the doctor. "Look at the interest."
The message had changed. "Interest terms, 5 minutes per hour per hour."
"That's what I said," said Amy.
"No, you said 5 minutes per hour," he said. "That's a very different thing. Let me explain."
He picked up a pen and started to draw on the glass wall of the atrium.
5 minutes per hour, right? Imagine you've borrowed 100 hours.
He wrote 5 times 100 equals 500.
That means you would owe 500 minutes interest. The problem is that it's not 5 minutes per hour, it's 5 minutes per hour every hour.
Amy started to have a bad feeling.
"So that's 5 minutes per hour every hour," Amy said slowly.
She took the pen and wrote 5 times 100 times 100 equals...
"That makes 50,000? I owe 50,000 minutes?" she shouted.
"Amy, it's much worse than that," he said. "You pay interest on the interest, also called compound interest. Compound interest is why people can't pay back their credit cards. This is how poor people stay poor and rich people get rich. It's... look at this cake."
He pointed at the enormous cake on the table. The doctor cut a piece of cake with thick chocolate icing on the top.
"The cake, this yellow part, is the hour of time you've borrowed, and the icing is the interest. So this piece is 1 hour. Now let's borrow another hour."
He cut another piece of cake.
"One more piece of cake, plus the icing as interest. Plus, you owe an extra piece of icing because you've got 2 pieces of cake, right? Every hour, you have to pay 1 piece of icing for every piece of cake you've borrowed. 2 hours, 2 pieces of icing."
He made a gentle cut on top of the cake and cut off an extra piece of icing, leaving the cake partly bare. He put the icing on top of the second piece of cake.
"That's what you owe. Now let's borrow another hour."
He cut another piece of cake with icing.
"Now the interest."
He cut 2 more pieces of icing and put them on top of the third piece of cake.
"There's almost more icing than cake now," said Amy.
"That," the doctor said, "is what I am trying to show you. Let's borrow another hour."
He cut another piece, and then he cut 3 more pieces of icing. He put all the extra icing together with the icing he had already cut. Now there was a whole extra piece of cake just made of icing.
So now, if you borrow another piece of cake, how many pieces of icing will we have to take? The doctor said, and he cut another piece of cake.
Amy counted the pieces. There are 5 pieces of cake, so we need 5 pieces of icing, she said.
Plus the piece made completely out of icing, he said. That's 6. So we have to cut an extra piece of icing. But 6 pieces of icing is the same as a whole extra piece. That means that every time you borrow another piece, you get a whole extra piece just made of icing.
Amy felt sick. The cake was almost completely bare.
Once an hour, you get a piece of icing for every hour that you've borrowed. That's how compound interest works. The icing you have to pay on the icing becomes thousands of times more than the cake. I'm sorry, Amy, but you owe 10 years.
You must have made a mistake, Amy said. I only borrowed 4 days.
He shook his head sadly. Even if you don't borrow any more time, it's going up by about 1 year an hour now. She was shaking.
Get it off me, she screamed.
She picked up the knife and tried to push the watch off. She cut herself, but she did not care about the blood.
Amy,
the doctor shouted, and he tried to take the knife before she hurt herself more.
Is there a problem?
Said Mr. Symington from very close behind her. She screamed again. Suddenly, from nowhere, the two men were in the meeting room.
We hope you weren't trying to take off your watch, said Mr. Blenkinsop. You remember the terms and conditions. If you try to remove a time harvester watch, you immediately owe us your whole lifetime.
Mr. Symington's smile grew bigger, and his mouth opened much wider than any human mouth could open. The mouth was filled with teeth that looked like blood-red shark's teeth. His skin was turning grey like a shark's too.
Run!
The doctor shouted. They ran out of the meeting room towards the lifts. Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop followed them. Amy threw some office chairs behind her as she ran, and Mr. Symington fell, which gave Amy and the doctor enough time to reach the lift.
We have to get back to the TARDIS, said the doctor. If we can get out of here, we can think about how to get that thing off your wrist when we're 1,000 years away.
Can't they take the time out of my watch anyway? Said Amy.
The doctor pressed a button on the watch and read some of the terms and conditions.
It says that they have to take your time in person, he said. If you stay away from them, they can't take your time.
They reached the ground floor and the lift doors opened. Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop were waiting in the atrium. For a moment, the two shark men did not notice Amy and the doctor. When they did, their heads turned at the same moment. Amy and the doctor ran out of the building, and she pulled the doctor towards the restaurant where she had had lunch 4 days ago and was having lunch right now. She could see the other Amy, and as they ran past, she felt her memory changing.
Yes, she suddenly remembered that she had seen herself and the doctor run past when she was having lunch, and she had wondered what was happening. Or had that new memory only just appeared?
They went behind the back of the building. We can't lose them while you're wearing that watch. It's telling them where you are, the doctor said. If we can get to the TARDIS, maybe we can... Suddenly, Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop came down the road. They saw the doctor and Amy and started to run towards them.
I've got an idea, said Amy,
and she pulled the special lucky holiday camera out of her pocket. Usually, you turned the camera towards yourself, but she held it the other way round, pointing it at Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop. She pressed the camera's button, and a time bubble grew around the two shark men.
Good thinking, Amy, said the doctor.
They walked around the corner towards the basement where they had left the TARDIS. Waiting by the door were Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop. Across the road was another pair of Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop. Further up the street, towards the front door, there they were again. At the same moment, all three pairs of Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop turned their heads and saw the doctor and Amy. Then they started to run towards the doctor and Amy again, with their sharks' mouths open.